with immorality. The pit, the bottom of the line. You know, when we start down this path of not giving God reverence, not really putting Him in the place that He belongs, and we start to live the good life, and we become unthankful, and we become intellectually proud, and we get taken up with the idols of this world, sometimes we wind up at the bottom, and we wonder, how did I get here? It didn't come instantly. It came as a process. And that's why you want to be alert to the process. Ask yourselves this morning, how much reverence do I give to God in my life? How high do I really hold Him? How casual am I about His things? How casual am I when I speak with Him? We want to ask ourselves these questions. How thankful am I? I mean continually. How often do I just drive my car and maybe I see somebody who's got a backpack on, we call them street people, roaming down the road with a push cart with no place to go. Dare just say, thank you, Lord. I have a place to go. I have a home. All these things. Watch the steps. Memorize them. They all start with I. Should help you. But be very careful. Because sadly, even Christians sometimes wind up at the bottom. And they wonder, how did I ever get here? It started probably with the place they gave God. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, this morning we just thank You for our time to look into Your Word. We want to pray, first of all, if there's one here this morning who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, who perhaps see themselves as that moral person or that religious person, we pray, Lord, that they might understand that in Your eyes they are in need of a Savior. And may they understand fully that You have provided one in the person of the Lord Jesus. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that You might really speak to us as to the place, the reverence, the way we handle ourselves. Help us not to fall into being casual Christians. Help us to be those who truly give You honor and a very high place. And we speak to Thee and deal with Thee and serve Thee with an understanding that Thou art above all, the only true God of heaven and earth. So we ask that You would preserve us from taking this downward trek. And so we just commit Your word to Thee this morning. And we pray for Brother Bill, who will be ministering shortly. We just pray You would bless that word as well. So we commend all to Thee now as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, last night, Mr. John Stinger came to me because he spent the whole meeting checking this out. He said there's discrepancies between the yellow schedule and the white schedule. Well, the white schedule is really given to you to tell you what the subjects are and was really meant actually for the speakers to tell them, you know, when they're on. So we will go by the yellow schedule. Now, what does it say when we're meeting again? Huh? 11:15. That's correct. So we'll meet here at 11:15. That's 25 minutes from now. You can go out and get some fresh air. You can get a Coke out of the machine. You can take a nap. Some of you have already started.
And thus the year I now begin, a happy year will be, if I'm seeking to do just the thing that pleaseth Thee. And you and I could edit that and say it's for the beginning of a new week, the beginning of a new month, the beginning of a new job situation, the beginning of a new responsibility at school, whatever it might be. The real challenge of life is what pleases God, what honors Him, what is biblically oriented, And then I'll just let the other relationships fall into place as God directs. It's interesting to notice in the scriptures the only specific man who is said to have pleased God in the scripture was a guy named Enoch. Now obviously we know that the Lord Jesus pleased God. God said that from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We're to listen to him. But he was the Son of God. The only human that the Bible says specifically pleased God was a fellow named Enoch. Great. Let's study the life of Enoch. Then we'll know what it means to please God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, if you would, please. The book of Hebrews tells us that Enoch pleased God. Just a brief little commentary there, kind of a little one-liner, if you will. Genesis chapter 5, look at verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, or God translated him, as we have in the New Testament. Now those who are scholars in the languages say that when you look at the Septuagint, which is a New Testament Greek translation of the Old Testament, would have been used about the time the Lord Jesus walked on earth. It doesn't say in that translation Enoch walked with God. It says Enoch pleased God. So the terms are synonymous. When you and I learn to walk with God, we are pleasing God. And if we're pleasing God, we're going to be walking with God. That's the bottom line. So, how did Enoch please God? We don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. Mr. Bill, come on. It really doesn't. All we know about Enoch is he walked with God. He pleased God. He prophesied for God. And God took him. Man, wouldn't you like just a couple of chapters on Enoch, and you could kind of scan it and say, okay, I can fit into that verse. I can fit in here. Yeah, that suits me. I see. No, there's not much information given. So the only other person that is recorded in Scripture specifically that pleased God was His Son, the Lord Jesus. So we have to turn to the gospel record and study the life of Christ, don't we? But no, wait a minute. We can work our way back and forth all through the pages of Scripture. And that's what we're going to do this week. Bring your Bibles along. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. And we're just going to look at a number of statements where this pleases God, that pleases God, this displeases Him, that displeases Him, this person walked with Him, that person did. And we're just going to draw from all of that something you can take home with you where the river meets the road. What happens in the workplace? What happens in the classroom? What happens in the extended family? And that kind of thing. We want it to be real. We want it to be something usable, something viable, something you can use to function with in the workplace today. For that's what's so desperately needed. I don't know if you've read Josh McDowell's book, Right from Wrong. It was published about 10 years ago. It is an incredible volume. If you come across it, grab it. He paid the George Barnard Research Group, a Christian research group, to spend a number of months studying the South, the Bible Belt, if you will. Young people's groups from Georgia and the Carolinas all the way to the state of Texas. These were guys and gals who professed to know the Lord as Savior. They had been baptized. They were members of their local church. They were involved in their Sunday school and their youth group. They came to church at least four times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and youth group. These were not the ding-a-lings standing around on the corner waiting for something to happen. These were the guys and gals that were really vitally involved in their churches. And that survey will stand your hair on end. Because those fellows and girls, as godly as they seem to have been, couldn't make moral judgment decisions about what pleases God and what doesn't. It didn't compute for them. They couldn't take what they learned in Sunday school and make it work when they were on a date. They couldn't take what they learned in the preaching service and make it work in the workplace. They couldn't make that relationship. They just pigeonholed everything, and when I'm at church, this is how it is, and when I'm in the workplace, hey, I can do just like everybody else does. That's exactly what the world thinks of all of us, okay? They just delight to laugh at us and mock at us and say, we're all a bunch of idiots. We're all a bunch of fruitcakes. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. They just lump us all together. And some crackpot emerges from the scene of the mountains or whatever, and he comes out and tells everybody to drink snake oil or whatever, and everybody does it, and they all die, and the media gets a hold of it. See, yeah, all you Christians, you're all the same sort of thing. You and I have got to prove them differently. We've got to be faithful to the Word of God. We've got to be consistent 24-7, or at least all your waking hours, and for some of you it is 24-7, especially when you're at camp, you know. We've got to make it work. It's going to affect how you gals dress. It's going to affect how you guys treat the women in your lives, your mom, your teachers, your girlfriends. It's going to affect how you drive. It's going to affect how you function in the classroom. It's going to affect how you respond to your employer. It's going to affect every conceivable facet of life. That's the bottom line of it. And the world delights to shred our testimony because we're not consistent. We tell the folks at our workplace, in our classroom, hey, we got this great youth group, come along. We're going to have a series of gospel meetings, come along. We're going to have a series of ministry meetings, come along. You'll really enjoy it. Come to camp with me. And they're standing there going, duh, yeah. I saw how you talked to your mom day before yesterday. I saw how you responded to the boss in the workplace the other day. Don't speak to me about it. Get off my back. I heard the conversation at school in the locker room about you and your friend the other night. Don't talk to me about your religion today. What pleases God? It simply means getting to walk with God. Now, he's unseen, obviously. So it's a spiritual relationship. It's not like walking hand in hand with a friend. It's not like escorting someone along who needs a little help, and you're the weaker one, and he's going to help you. No? It's a spiritual relationship, a heart relationship. And the Apostle Paul talked about it when he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, we beseech you, brethren, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus. You have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. So he says, I would like for you to do it and get on with it. The King James terminology is abound. I want you to do it, and I want you to do it to excellence, to extraordinary measures. And apparently he's talking about quality and quantity both. He wants us to really make work of this thing. Not wait until you're 35. Not wait until you've got your education out of the way, you're settled in the workplace, you've decided about marriage and family and all that. No, you start right now, today. And let it work out in the tomorrows of life, and the next day, and so on. To walk with God is to please God, and to please God is to walk with God. And so we use the terms interchangeably. Now, follow me further. The only other person specifically stated in Scripture to have walked with God is a guy named Noah. And everybody knows about Noah, and we like to build the ark, and we like to sing about the flood and all that sort of thing. But look at Genesis chapter 6. Just across the page. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is, he learned to appreciate and appropriate the work of God for himself. He had absolute confidence in God, unquestioned confidence, because God said, build a boat, it's going to rain. The word rain was not in Noah's vocabulary. He never heard of the word flood. He'd never seen either one. And he spends 120 years pounding away on this ark, making a fool of himself in front of his entire culture. Talk about standing alone, preaching away that judgment is coming, and everybody's saying, yeah, right, that's what you said last week. That's what you said last year, turkey. You told us that 10 years ago, idiot. 120 years later, judgment did come. And nobody listened. Talk about discouragement, talk about giving up, talk about I quit. If you work and work and work and work with people and try and relate to them and try and minister and try and serve, and they don't respond, it's like, what are we doing this for? Why don't we quit and go home? The only people that responded was his family, you remember. And yet he was faithful to God, he walked with God, he was obedient to the Word of God, and God says he found grace in his sight. He was blessed of the Lord. But you and I can turn over two or three pages further and find this same great man of God laying in his tent in his birthday suit drunk. Like, wait a minute. This guy's not supposed to do that. I thought he was some godly saint. I thought he walked with the Lord. I thought he was pleasing God. Well, he did sometimes. And he fell into sin sometimes. Been there, done that. Every one of us in the room can say that, okay? We're not asking for a show of hands. Let's just be honest. There are no perfect Christians, okay? You already noticed that. Gals, there are no Mr. Perfects on planet Earth. Don't even think about finding one. Guys, there are no Miss Perfect. Fellows and girls, there is no such thing as a perfect church. One of the old timers over in Grand Rapids area years ago used to say, if you ever find a perfect assembly, don't go there because you'll spoil it. And don't invite me to come because I don't need my help anyway. You know? There is no such thing as a perfect congregation of God's people. There are no perfect believers. There's no perfect Sunday school teacher. There's not even a perfect youth director, camp director, okay? There are no perfect spouses. We need to get that in our mind. God uses imperfect people. Yes! That leaves room for every one of us, and boy, do we need that. I love the t-shirt. I don't like the grammar, but I love the t-shirt that says, God don't make no junk. God was in the salvage business before the aluminum companies ever heard about it, all right? He picks us up, he dusts us off, and says, all right, let's try again tomorrow. Forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. The God of heaven offers forgiveness, not because we're deserving of it, not because we're such great guys and gals, but because of the blood of Christ. So yes, we can walk with God. Yes, we can please God. It isn't to say you're going to do it every single moment of every single day. Ask godly people like Steve Holshiser. Ask his wife, rather. She'll tell you the truth. You know, there's not a one of us who can say, well, you just follow me and you got it made. Piece of cake, sister, just get on board. No. The apostle said, you follow me as I follow Christ. We have the discernment from the Word of God, from the working of the Holy Spirit to say, wait a minute, I think you just misstepped. You just misspoke. And the problem with our culture is we keep looking at each other so much when that person missteps or misspeaks, our hopes are smashed. We had a neighbor when we lived in Waynesboro, Georgia, who was of that cut. She practically worshiped the ground her preacher walked on because he's the one who pointed her to the Lord. He taught her the Word of God. He led her along. He taught her for years and years and years. She was nearly our age. And all of a sudden, he fell into moral sin and dumped his wife and got pitched out of the church in the whole nine yards. One of these typical scenarios you read about in the paper, you know? And she hadn't gotten over it yet, and that has been years ago. She can't get out of her mind that this man she put such confidence in turned out like that. What a rotten rat. Yeah, he's a sinner just like all the rest of us. Look at the Pope and all the rest of them, you know? Look at all that's been going on in the media the last 2 or 3 years. We put all these people on this great elevated level up here. Oh, they're such godly people. No, they're just wicked sinners like all. They put their britches on one pant leg at a time like every other guy does. And just as perverted as any of us. The difference is, you and I know something about forgiveness. So Noah could walk with God. Noah could please God. We know a whole lot more about Noah than we do Enoch. Maybe that's by God's intention. He wanted us to be encouraged. We can please God too. Never mind what you did yesterday. Never mind the poor choices you made last week, last month, last year. Never mind the baggage in the closet. God offers forgiveness, guys. How dare we then say, well, yeah, I know God forgave me, but yeah, I can't forgive myself, so I can't serve the Lord. You just don't know, Mr. Bell. You don't know what a rough sinner I am. I can't help at church. I can't help at camp. I can't do anything. I'm just as horrible. This eternal pity party. No, sir. That's not in the scriptures. God offers forgiveness. Does it make any difference whether you're sitting in a serial killer sitting on death row, or the worst thing you ever did was bash your mom when you're 6? It doesn't make any difference. We're all still sinners. And we can all be forgiven because of the blood of Christ. God wants to work in and through your life. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to represent Him in your culture. You can do certain things with the people you mix and mingle with that none of the rest of us can do because you're unique. God made you just like you are. All the zits and all the freckles and wrinkles and crooked noses and crooked teeth and big ears and the whole big beaks and all. God did it, okay? So that you could bloom for Him just where you're planted. And if you and I are going to sit around and look, well, if I were like whoever, whatever, no, never mind, let's just be real. This is me. God can use me where I am. God can work through me in my family situation. Mr. Bill, you don't know, I don't have to know your family situation. The absolute in our culture is half the American families are single-parent families, all right? So you're so-called dysfunctional from the get-go. No problem. God can work in that kind of situation, you shining for Him. As we'll see as we work our way down through the pages of Scripture, there were men and women who stood under insurmountable odds and were able to hang tough. Let your little light shine just exactly where God has planted you. The perfect example in Scripture is always going to be the Lord Jesus, and so we'll fall back to that example from time to time. If we keep our eyes on Christ, that makes the difference, fellows and girls. We spend way too much time looking at self and way too much time looking at others. Well, when the elders get their act together, then we'll do something. You just sit here and wait, Colin, sonny. You're going to wait a long time. Because elders are sinners just like the rest. Some of them are out to lunch, okay? Let's be honest. Some of them are trying, and they're trying hard. Don't wait for the elders. Don't wait for your Sunday school teacher. Don't wait for your folks to get their act together. You're responsible for you. You're accountable for you. And you can go away from this Congress at the end of next week with the joy of the Lord and a determination because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Say, hey, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to shine for Him. With God's help, I'm going to do it every day, day in and day out. I graduated from high school in 59, okay? Muscle car here. My senior year, my family moved from North Carolina to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Talk about culture shock. Here, the hillbilly from Tar Heel country, with all of his southern drawl, wound up in West Michigan. Because of the studies I'd had in Carolina, my senior year was a piece of cake in West Michigan. I only had to go half days and was able to do a co-op job situation and all that kind of thing, all right? I had two incredible opportunities that year to be a testimony for the Lord, and I blew both of them. I have never forgotten either instance. 1959, 1960, okay? Indelibly impressed. My physiology teacher, one day, I happened to be the only guy in the classroom, and she stood and looked me straight in the face and said, Bill, there's just something different about you. What is it? What an opportunity. And I hemmed and hawed and puttered and sputtered and said, well, you know, I came from the South. That's the way my parents brought me up, and that's... I knew better than that. I should have said, it's the Lord's doing. I know something about God. I know something about forgiveness. I know something about the Scripture. And the Lord has to be my personal Savior. I have never seen that woman since. I have no idea where she is spiritually, if she's even alive. Just a few months after that, the family moved back to Atlanta. I made application to Georgia State. Back then it was called Georgia State College of Business Administration. Now it's Georgia State University. And you have to fill out on that form what denomination you were. So I put on some of that. You know, they called me in before a board of instructors, and the only question they wanted to know was, what are Plymouth Brethren? We never heard of that. Do you salute the flag? Do you pledge allegiance to the flag? Are you some cult? That's all they wanted to know. No question about my academics, no question about my transcript, nothing else. I had to get off work, go all the way to downtown Atlanta and sit there. You'd think I would have learned from the classroom. And I let it slip through my finger again. I've never forgotten the lesson. Walking with God and pleasing God is a day in and day out affair in the workplace and in the classroom and in your social relationships and in the assembly and in the neighborhood and in the family. And you can do it with God's help. And so we're just going to work our way back and forth through the scripture and see what we can learn together that will please God. God opened heaven instead of the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I go over in heaven and say that about you and me. But the scripture is very clear and plain. He'll reward us for anything we do for him. If we bring honor and glory to his name, it'll make us very happy. The Lord Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, my God. Thy law is within my heart. The Father has not left me alone. I always do the things that please him. Christ pleased not himself, the apostle said. It's not I. But Christ, the apostle said, you and I have to think it through and say, is it going to be self? Is it going to be others? Is it going to be God? That's our emphasis this week. If we can be of any help in any way, we're going to be around the property all day, every day, so we'll be delighted to sit down and work through some things in the scripture and try and just help encourage you, pray with you, whatever it might be, okay? I spent 26 years in the printing industry, so I understand business and manufacturing, that side of things. We've been committed to the work of the Lord since 1985. Worked in a Christian school for a while, so we understand some things about the academic side of issues, and then serve among God's people. So we're here to serve. We're here to minister, here to encourage each other. I'd be a help one to the other, so don't hesitate to grab it. Hey, run that by me again. I went too fast, whatever. Ask for clarification. Sometimes my motor mouth gets going faster than the bird brain, and so you get a little thing that's meshing with gears there, right? So don't hesitate to ask for a repeater rerun. Who's on now? All right. Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being together these few days. We're thankful you have brought us here safely. Thankful in your marvelous wisdom and sovereign working. This mix of young people is here together this week. We pray that you use the time we spend together in the Word for our good. We realize all of this is made possible by the work of the Lord Jesus in Calvary, by his ongoing intercession at thy right hand. Thank you for every person in the room who knows and loves the Savior. We pray that you use our studies and our fellowship as of help and encouragement to each one of us, both young and old, to challenge us to be obedient to the Scripture and to seek with all of our hearts to please the God of heaven, who gave his very Son for our salvation. We commit our evening into your care. We pray for a good night of rest. We pray for help and blessing as we launch into the week's activities. Give wisdom and guidance to our brother Steve as he directs all these affairs. Bless our time together. We pray for good weather, for safety, for encouraging fellowship. We'll carefully give our thanks to